Praise the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Two verses tonight, three verses actually. Very appropriate for what we have on our heart tonight, everything that's been done tonight. Went right along with the message. Praise God. Glory to God. Ephesians 5. I just can't go with the fact he chose me. Mom and dad didn't have a choice. Dad, take me home. Because I was born to them. Thank God, Jesus, he chose me. Amen. He knew who I was and he still chose me. Man. Praise God. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 18. Don't get scared. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know what that word filled means? I know, usually I joke around and say it means filled. But it actually means fill to full. That's what it means. In the Greek, it means to be filled to full. That means nothing else can fit in. Now let's sink that in. Let's sink in a minute. So be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the what? Spirit. So that means we should be filled with the Spirit that nothing else can get in. So how do we be filled with the Spirit? Here we go. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop there. That's all we're going to deal with tonight, these three verses. Have you ever been in a worship service where it's just one of those that you never forget, that sticks with you for years and years and years? And in times when you need God to revive you and to refuel you, your mind goes back to that particular worship service. I don't know about you, but a couple Wednesday nights ago was one of those in my mind. And we're still, you know, Calvary preached on living, feeding on the ashes, but we're not feeding on that service. We're rejoicing over what he did and know that he can do more. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what he wants to do in this place. But I've been in some wonderful worship services. My mind goes back and there's been landmarks in my life, in particular the worship service where God saved me. I've shared that testimony many times. I don't want to beat a drum again, but I remember when he saved me. I remember the date. I remember the service. I remember who was preaching. I remember the time when he saved me. And you may not remember the time, but if you don't remember the experience, I don't know that you may have gotten it, him. But you remember the experience when God came into your life. I remember the worship service where God called me to preach. I remember the worship service where God sanctified me wholly to his will. I remember submitting myself to God and said, God, I'll do whatever you have me to do. And it wasn't too long after that, another worship service that God called me to preach. I'll never forget the worship service where I accepted the call to preach. You say they weren't the same service? No. Dan, am I right? No. I'll never forget. Calvin Ray will never forget because he was an integral part of that service. I felt the call to preach, but I thought the call to preach. And then it was on a revival meeting in March. Calvin Ray was preaching, and I was dealing with this. He had no idea what was going on in my life. And I prayed that night to God. I said, God, I am sick of this. I want this to be over and done. Send me somebody that doesn't know what's going on and show me with clarity through the Spirit of God what I'm supposed to do. And I knew what I was supposed to do. I wasn't stupid. But I wanted assurance. Nothing wrong with that. And so I remember the worship service where God came in a mighty way and Calvin Ray slipped over to where I was at. And he says, Brian, do whatever God's calling you to do, move forward with him, and I promise you, he won't fail you. He had no idea what was going on. He hadn't talked to my parents. In fact, I hadn't even talked to my parents. God was working in me, and he showed me with clarity that I needed to accept the call to preach. So I remember that worship service. I remember particular worship services in the old sanctuary down just below us, and then in here where God has met with us. How many of you remember, take six paces and stop and praise God? Never forget that. Oh, these worship services, these are in my mind, and whenever I need, and whenever I need refreshing and renewal, I think about the worship services that God has allowed us to have. But we have to understand that these worship services don't come just free. They come with a price. And in order for worship to happen, worship must begin in us. And I'm not saying this negative of our pastor, but I want you to understand, just because he isn't here doesn't mean that should affect our worship. And for those of you that, for those of you that were here last week, it didn't affect our, God still showed up and we had a wonderful worship time. And definitely the preacher wasn't as good as our pastor, but I'm telling you, God showed up in a mighty way, because worship is not predicated on who's here. Worship is in the fact that he's here. Glory to God. And worship is a window to the heart. And if you truly want real worshipers, have it in here. They don't have it in here. They have it in here. And so that's how we have true worship experiences, is if we have worship in our heart. And so we have to understand, in order to have worship, we need to be spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Be not drunk with wine, words that says, but be filled with the Spirit. So that means nothing else can live in our hearts but the Spirit of God. You cannot worship correctly with sin in your life. You cannot worship correctly if you're living in fornication. You cannot worship right if you're cheating. You cannot worship right if you're lying. You cannot worship right if you're not tithing. My friend, you cannot worship right if your heart's not right with God. It's all a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You can't worship God with jealousy in your heart. You cannot worship God right if you don't like someone in this church. You cannot worship right. You gotta rise above that. And you gotta understand, if you don't let things go and if you don't get things under the blood, my friend, it'll affect your worship. And if you go, I don't know why I'm saying this, this ain't in my notes, but if you go back in your heart and in your life, you can look back and say, I'm not worshiping God like I used to worship. So go back as to why. Probably on the inside there's something that isn't confessed to God, and you need to get it under the blood. Well, that feels good. Amen. So how are we supposed to worship? Well, this verse 19 tells us. Let's look at the demonstration of worship. It says, speaking to yourselves. Now, this is more, of course, obviously, grammatically, it doesn't mean we talk to ourselves, but it does. And not only does it mean, in the Greek, it means not only do we speak to ourselves, but he's talking to the Ephesian church here. So he's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the children of God. And he says, sometimes we got to speak to ourselves, but sometimes we got to speak to others. And how do we speak? He breaks it down to three categories: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So what does it mean to speak to yourself? That word speak is more than just saying a word. That word speak, when you get to the bottom of it, literally means to utter a sound, to utter with your voice, or to make a sound. Now, I don't know if you've had to do this, but I'll just be very honest with you. The last 2 weeks of my life, I've had to speak to myself. Now, I know I probably, girls in Calvary are saying you do that all the time anyway, and I do. In order to work things out, I got to talk to myself to make it work. But sometimes when it comes to spiritually, not only do I know I need to talk to others, but sometimes I got to talk to myself to get through them, saying, because sometimes things happen in our life that just knock us in the gut. We didn't expect them coming. And sometimes you just get all mad with yourself, and you get frustrated, and you're thinking, why in the world do I got to go through this? And sometimes you got to speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sometimes you got to remind yourself of what could have been or where you were or what could have happened and God protected you and was there. Let me just tell you what happened. A couple of Thursdays ago, on the night that Calvin Ray and Candy were getting ready to leave to go on vacation, I was on my way coming home from work and you know, people, the way they drive, right here. A lady was stopped in the middle of the road to make a turn. She was waiting on an oncoming semi. And me, I was hot and I was adjusting my air conditioner. And I look up and she was stopped right in the middle of the road. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't go left because the semi was coming. I couldn't go right because a man was mowing his grass. And I figured he didn't want me to mess his grass up. No, I was about ready to hit him. So I thought, well, the best thing I can do is slam on my brakes. And all this happened in a moment of time. And I slammed on my brakes and my Dodge Ram did exactly what it was supposed to be doing. It rammed. It rammed. And all in all, long story short, we both came out of that. An older lady, probably in her late 60s, early 70s. She was in a little Pontiac GT. The back of her car didn't look like a back of a car, looked like a loaf of bread had been smashed. Mufflers were on the ground, glass was everywhere. Her spoiler was in the grill of my truck. I was going the speed limit, which is 55 through there. So you can imagine, 55 mile an hour, hitting a lady almost at full speed at 55 mile an hour with a semi coming. And I got mad. Number one, I was mad at myself. I was hot, and I wanted to get cooled off. But in a matter of time, I guess that's why they call them accidents, but in a matter of time, I wasn't doing anything stupid. I was just adjusting my air conditioner, and boom, bam. And I was mad. I was upset. I was upset at myself. I got to think, I really don't need this right now, you know? No, none of you have ever done that. I really don't need this right now. And I just sat in the car for a minute. I was making sure that I was okay, and for a couple of days I felt pretty bad, was pretty stoved up. But anyway, I got out, and the woman, she got out of the car. Amazingly, nobody was hurt, nothing was wrong. And then I was on my way home. I just felt I was mad at myself, and I was mad at myself all night long. We had another event I had to go to, and so I was there, and I was mad at myself all night long. I thought, why in the world did I do that? I'm a stupid idiot. What did I do that for? And so I laid in my bed at night, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, start speaking to yourself. So I started speaking to myself, and I started quoting some Psalms. I started quoting the ones that I knew. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, look, Brian, look at what could have happened. And so I ran back in my mind, and fear came over my body, because if I would have been just 5 seconds earlier, see, the front of her Pontiac GT clipped the back of that oncoming semi. He didn't even know it hit him. He kept on going. But if I would have been there 5 seconds earlier, John, I would have pushed her right in front of that semi, and no doubt it would have been a fatality. And I don't know if I could have lived through that. So God reminded me, yes, it's bad, but I was still there. The angel of the Lord campeth around about them that fear him and keep him. I'm telling you what, it could have been a lot worse. Things could have been so much worse, but I began to speak to myself, and God reminded me, thank God, worship isn't dependent on my feelings, but worship is dependent on who he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And sometimes you just need to have something to say in your heart. There'll be times this week coming up, maybe this sermon isn't for you tonight, but maybe this week there'll be times that'll come up and you think, how in the world am I going to get through this? Why don't you start saying something? Won't you start saying something? See, oh, we have a dear pastor friend that God is—he's just so dear to us. His name's Denver Daniel up in northern Ohio, and he makes this statement, and I'll never forget it. He said, "Some people got to say something, but then some people have something to say." And listen, when it comes to dealing with spiritual matters, you got to have something to say. It's not a matter of just saying something, but you got to have something to say. And when you have something to say, when it comes in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, my friend, you can make it through it, knowing that your worship isn't dependent on who I am or what I'm going through or how I'm feeling, but it's dependent on how good of a God he is. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen tonight. Glory to God. That's the demonstration. We got to speak to ourselves. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, I don't want to go in that. I think our pastor dealt with that a while back on the three different types. Psalms, of course, psalms in your Bible, hymns, spiritual songs. Those are all different types, and you can study that on your own. I don't have time to get into that. But that's what he commands us to do in order to be spirit-filled, in order to have true worship. And then not only look at the demonstration, but notice the depth of our worship. Where's the depth at? He says, singing and making melody in your heart. That's the depth of worship, is in your heart. Now, we have to understand this better by breaking this down just a little bit further. He says, speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, but also singing and making melody in your heart. I found out something interesting in studying this. The word melody actually means to pluck on strings. To pluck on strings. How appropriate that we had a banjo picker here tonight, plucking on strings. The word melody means to pluck on strings. So what he was saying is that when we have true worship, that it'll pluck the strings of our heart. Now I know, see, was it Wednesday night that I shared with you a little guitar information about tension when applied properly makes beautiful music? Well, let me just tell you something else about guitars. That guitar I have over there, I got in 2004 when I first came to this church. It was a gift from a couple here at the church. I'll never be able to pray them for their kindness and goodness. But I got that guitar brand new in 2004. I will tell you right now, it doesn't look as good as it did in 2004 because there's character marks. You know what I mean by that? There's belt buckle marks. There's drop. It's been repaired. I've cracked it because I play it a lot. But I guarantee this, it sounds 100 times better than it did in 2004. In fact, guitars and instruments only get better the more you play them. You know why that happens? See, guitars aren't made, and I'm talking about guitars, that's what I know, but guitars and instruments aren't made to sit in a corner and be on display. Instruments are made to be played. Now, if you don't, some of you are like, what are you talking about? Hello, think about this spiritually. God has made all of us an instrument. We are an instrument. Our pastor preached it a few months ago. We are replacing the devil. We are instruments of worship. And so I want to ask you a question. Do you sound better today than you did when God first came into your heart? Because you should. You should. Because the more it's been played, the better it sounds. You say, well, what does that do? What do you mean playing it more makes it sound better? See, because when a new instrument is tight. Wood is tight. But the more you play it, the looser it gets. The more free it gets. And so that's why you see instruments, and I played an instrument. I played a 1936 Triple Ott Martin, and I played that. And that thing was so old, I never played anything that old. But it sounded beautifully. Why? Because it had been played, and the wood was loose. It had depth. It was free. And so it resonated. And let me just tell you this. The more an instrument gets played, the louder it gets. The ultimate compliment for a guitar player is for you to say, man, that guitar is a banjo killer. Because banjos are always the loudest instrument on the stage. But when you get a guitar that's loose and has depth and has good vibration and it's been played a lot, it'll outlast and outsound that banjo. Why? Because it's been played. I'm trying to tell you tonight, folks, are you more free? Are you have deeper depth with Christ? Are you loose? Are you free in Jesus' name? Are you louder than you were when you started? Hey, listen tonight, folks, we are instruments of praise. And that's how deep we should go. God should be able to pluck our string and it should resonate. Not only does it resonate, but it reciprocates. Do you know that if, and I've shared this before, but if that piano will hit not the middle of the keyboard, but down about in that lower G, if it hits that G and keeps pounding on that G, eventually, if my guitar's in tune with that piano, the string of G on my guitar will start vibrating. By itself, I don't even have to play it. Have you ever been in our church services sometimes when I've hit a chord or hit a string and all of a sudden it goes, you know what that means? It means the planets have aligned and amazingly, all of our instruments are in tune. And when they're in tune, it makes a roar like you've never heard before. That's why singers, you'll know if you're in tune with the congregation and if you're in tune with the Spirit. Because if you're in tune with God and if we're in tune with God, when you sing, I don't care how it sounds, hallelujah, it's going to resonate inside of me and I'll be able to worship. Why? Because we both are in love with Jesus Christ and we're filled with the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Man, I got to move on. The demonstration, the depth, it's in the heart. Well, what else? Look at the direction. The direction. He says, speaking yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Here's the direction to the Lord. That's the direction. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you want real worship, you've got to demonstrate it. The word speak means you've got to make a noise. So you can't tell me that worship means that you sit there and be quiet. Make a noise. Just do something. Sometimes it gets any bigger in the house. Just go, woof! Just like that. I tell you, you'll feel a lot better. I promise you, you will. I see it in some of you all, and you're just so close, just letting go. And I'm like, come on, just. I want to go back here and go, just do it. You're here. Yeah. See, Debbie used to not do that. She is now. God's been plucking on her strings. Feels good. Anyway, I got to move on. What was I talking about? Direction. Direction. We have the demonstration. We have the depth in our heart, but the direction is to God. See, the praise, the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs is not about our ability. You notice he didn't say sing it well. He said, no, anything you do, make sure it goes back to him. Woo, that's what true worship is. That's what true worship is. Praise says, Lord, I thank you for this and I thank you for that. I thank you for what you've given me. I thank you. But worship is, Lord, even if I didn't have all that, you're still God and beside you there is none other. And I worship you for who you are. But that's what he wants. He wants the direction of our praise to be toward him, to him. And so tonight we just need to direct our praise. And you say, well, how do we do that? God reminds us there's some things that we just need to thank him for. I mean, last Thursday, a week ago Thursday, I thought, man, the timing of this is terrible. I'm not being ugly. I'm not saying, oh, woe is me. But the timing of this accident was not one of the best, like there is ever a good time. Yeah, but I knew Sunday was coming. I knew what God had already laid on my heart weeks ago for last Sunday. I knew Conrad was going to be gone, Canyon was going to be gone. I didn't even tell them. They didn't even worry about that. I was fine. And I was worried about them. I wanted to have a good time, and we had a lot of stuff going on here, and just trying to make sure everything went off okay. And of course, people were, you know, at Jim's funeral and all this going on. And then I got here Sunday. And then God reminded me, although, yet, I will praise the Lord. And then the more I got to thinking about Sunday morning, and then I thought, man, Lord, you're gonna bless us tonight. And Jim McComas comes and just, whoa, wow. And just, I mean, just wow. And you all were so good to him. He let us know that how good you are to him. And he felt your prayers and never felt so at liberty. And I said, well, that's, and you know, he had a good time. And so I thought about all week long. I thought Monday, I got up and I was like, Lord, thank you for giving me people in my basket that I can help and help them. And thank you, Lord, for I've been in people's baskets my whole life. And I didn't get to them last Sunday, but I got to thank Bev and Scott and Mary and Alan. And I know there's a ton more that I can mention, but I got to thank those two couples, because when I was growing up as a little boy, I'd sit on Alan's lap and I'd sit on Scott's lap. I can't do that now. But they put me in their basket a long time ago, because me and my sister were the only kids at that church. And they brought me up and helped me and showed me what true Christianity was. I thought about that all week, and I just kept getting blessed. And I thought, woo, Lord, you're so good. Lord, you're so good. And then we got through Tuesday. Lord, you're so good. And got here on Wednesday, and I thought, I got to get off that stinking mat, you know, and throw that mat away and pick up your bed and take up, you know, and just follow me. You're healed. You don't have to worry about it. And I thought about that pool of Bethesda, and I was thinking about that. And Thursday I got up, and I was like, thank God Calvary's going to be back Sunday. I said, thank God, hallelujah. And then keep getting calls about the camp meeting. And I'm like, man, this is going to be great. And the more and more I got to thinking, not about so much what I was going through, but how good God was to me. It seems like the things I was going through didn't matter so much, because I look around and I see I've got a daughter that loves the Lord, a son that loves the Lord, that leads his team in prayer when he goes to a football game. I got a wife that loves me and cares for me and cooks for me sometimes. And I just... But no, God is good. God is good. And I've got a wonderful church family. And I began to thank him and praise him. My direction pointed to him. And I began to worship him. And guess what? All the things of this world fade away. Why? Because I've got a Savior who loves me and cares for me. And he takes care of his own. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what do you need from him tonight? I got the answer for you. Just come and turn your praise to him. Because doesn't he know what you're going through? Really? Doesn't he know what you need? Of course he does. So come and just worship him. Just thank him. Thank him. And I guarantee your outlook and your uplook will be so much better when you point your praise to Jesus.